their lives, their spirit. So I put it in a very bold way that Canadian citizens, that we begin recognize and begin implement that Indigenous knowledge in terms of giving rights, if you will, trees, the animals, because right now they don't have that. An elder said to me, "When you have no respect for the earth, and you have no respect for women, because the earth is a female entity, as female spirit." I'll leave that with you to think about. And I know that I think there's other countries, I think it's Brazil, that put it in their constitution, that Bolivia, they put in their constitution that the earth has rights. So I think we should follow that, absolutely. Thank you.
I'm going to say sit now because we're coming through up here. I got the sense from a lot of people, like at different tables I was sitting at, that there's a lot of guilt for everybody, and I've had to struggle with that too. And I just wanted to share a story that happened to me recently that really helped that lesson. So, in the story of it, it answers the how can we build a bold community. Last winter, I had a chance to take a herbal apprenticeship class with my mother, with a herbalist and ranger. Just a really wonderful class that really opened my eyes to how connected we are with everything. Hearing Sylvia talk about the medicines that are being used, it really affirms that we are connected, that for thousands and thousands of years we've used these plants. Where did we get our medicines before we had doctors? Rexall Pharmacy. We've been doing just fine for thousands and thousands of years. So that's another part of it, but it just knowing the knowledge of the use of plants as medicines is really affirming to the interconnectedness that we have and we share with the earth. But the story I want to share, it was on the last day of the class. It was in June, I believe. The class was called Plant Spirit Medicine. And so we went to my teacher's house in her little backyard in this little town just outside of Red Deer. And she had this just magnificent herbal garden with all these different medicinal plants. Just all growing together. It was just a really beautiful place. This huge balsam poplar tree. Must have been 60 years old. We were instructed to pick a plant and sit with it for a while and ask it a question. And we did some meditating first, free our mind and stuff like that. But when we finished the meditation, I was immediately drawn to a plant called valerian. It's a little tall, just a vibrant green color with beautiful white flowers. We were instructed to sit with the plant and offer it our breath, because we breathe in oxygen and all carbon dioxide, and just so happens plants breathe in carbon dioxide and breathe in oxygen. So that itself is acknowledging the connectedness of the plants. You're asked to sit with the plant, just breathe into it and receive back for some time. And then after a time, you're supposed to ask a question that we're giving, which was, what do plants need from human beings? And at that time, I was feeling a lot of guilt because we've done some pretty things that I had done and things that I was doing. And so I asked Plant, what do you mean for people? And I had this overwhelming feeling that the plant just wanted to behold its hand. All it wanted was recognition. And I feel that we build community amongst ourselves and the natural world. We need to recognize that they are part of it. And just through the simple act of recognition, acknowledging that they're there, acknowledging that they provide services for us every day, even though we don't ask for it. And so I got that overwhelming sense that all I wanted was just to hold its hand. And so I reached out and grabbed a leaf. And then it was just this feeling of forgiveness, this wash over me, that I had no, even though I didn't ask for forgiveness, even though it wasn't deserved, it was just freely given. And so, talking with people in the class today, and I felt a lot of guilt, but I don't feel that this earth holds a grudge. It just wants recognition, and just to maintain that relationship and to continue building that community.
Conversation has to be started. And I go back to about 2007, and I know that Inmar will correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you cooperated with some people in the Viking area on a series called Relearning Community. And I didn't really feel after a day like this we have to relearn community. So we had various speakers come in. Roger spoke, covered pretty well everything, but I think they were quite surprised to have a biologist come in. Glenn Hvidegaard came in. I can recall his talk. It was thriving communities, thriving biodiversity. And as I look from the time in the 60s when our communities were thriving and biodiversity was thriving, it seemed to be losing all of that. So there is a connection, but that has stuck in people's minds. In Flagstaff County in 2001, a watershed group was started. And we started having a supper and information evening every February to let the people in the county know what we're up to. And we would bring in a guest speaker to talk about something to do with the watershed. And the one I remember very vividly is 2003. Lauren Fitch came in and he gave a talk called The Life of Times, The Battle of the Watershed. Lights were dimmed, the narrative, lots of pictures. He took us back to who was here first, indigenous people. Talked about the pioneers. Talked about how the landscape had changed. Talked about some of the things that were good, some of the things that were not so good. But at the end of the 45 minutes, I think it was about 9:30, and the people that were looking after the hall, I was involved in kind of organizing it, and they said to me, can you be out of here by 9:45? And we didn't get out of there until about 20 after 10, because Lauren was continually, people were coming up to him and identifying with what he said. So the conversation was started. When people get together and talk about what they care about, change happens. In our watershed, Iron Creek, we have done some good things. There's an ecological economist by the name of, pardon me, agricultural economist by the name of John Eichard. He's out of the University of Missouri. And I've heard him speak about 6 times in the last 10 years. And at the end, he taught industrial agriculture for many years until he woke up teaching in Oklahoma to some farmers, and he realized he was teaching all the wrong things. So he's gone to the other side now. But at the end of his talks, he always says that if you want to create change, join a watershed group. And if you don't have a watershed group in your community, he says start one, because he said that's how change is going to happen. So that's a segue into the Battle River Watershed that we have here. And David Sam and his complement of very dedicated teachers, knowledgeable, have been working very hard over the last probably half a dozen years or more, and they're doing some really good things. So I think to build a land ethic, you've got the recipe here. You've got the cook. And I think that this can be taken to a whole new level. And maybe it's going to involve a potluck supper or some local food, but speakers can be brought in to share what a land ethic is. And so I think there's great hope to take this to another level. So that's what I have to offer.
Is to continue the conversation. Next Saturday in this room, I've been working together with actually that Morris group from Viking that Dawn was talking about to host the second Eco Ag Summit, Ecological Agricultural Summit. So the Morris group partnered with the Alberta Centre for Sustainable Rural Communities here at Augustana, and they've been a gracious host for us to bring together a couple of keynotes. One is actually a farmer from the States who has been an organic farmer who's also been doing a lot of independent work, even trying to understand the risks related to GM and why the States. So he'll be sharing even some of his own personal journey, as well as in the afternoon we've got a few different breakout sessions and another keynote, which is some new research at the University of Manitoba around perennial polycropping and the possibilities here on the prairies. So I was thinking this morning where today it feels like I'm right inside the heart and the spirit of the land, but next weekend we can also get a little bit into some of the hands-on and what we can do, and specifically changing the way agriculture looks in this province. So it's the second time we're coming together. There's a poster out on the bulletin board in the foyer if people want more details, but it's basically here next Saturday, and we're welcoming everybody, so don't feel that if you haven't registered yet, you can't come. And if you want to talk more about it, I'm here as well as Dawn.
Awesome. Thank you for this conversation.